Good morning. I've been waiting in anticipation for that clock to tick down so I can welcome you to Noble Assembly of God this morning. Let's stand and worship God today. Let's sing to Him this morning. Amen.
I raise a hallelujah.
It says, sing a little louder. How many of you would agree that we could sing a little louder than we have been? How many of you believe that we could probably pray a little harder than we have been? Maybe read a little longer in the Word of God than we have been. You know, I was at a cross-country meet yesterday, and I was watching these kids race, and towards the end of the race, there was some kids, you know, coming in, you know, towards the rear of the pack, and this one boy, he comes over the hill, and he's just got a little ways to go, and all of a sudden, he just takes off like a lightning bolt, and Jeremy Caldwell and I look at each other, and I said, I think he saved a little too much for the end. I think he could have run a little harder during the race. He had a little too much energy when he got to the finish line. And may that not be us. Amen. May that not be us. May we not get to the end of what God has called us to do and thought, you know what? I held too much back. But instead, may we sing a little louder. May we pray a little harder. May we read a little longer. May we devote a little bit more time to Jesus. And may when we get to the end, as one of my spiritual mentors, Jeannie Mayo, said, she said, I want to slide into heaven being I gave everything I had. That's it. How many of you want to be like that today? Amen? Amen. Lord, we just ask right now that you would help us to sing a little louder. Lord, help us to pray a little harder, to read a little longer, to devote a little bit more to you. Lord, may we not save it back for the end, but may we give it all now to you. Lord, knowing that if we'll give you our all, you will multiply it for the kingdom of God and for your glory and your honor and your praise. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Turn to the person next to you as you're sitting down and say, sing a little louder in a few minutes. Amen, 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 amen. I'm going to be honest with you. Most people don't ask me to sing a little louder. Yeah. The only solo I've ever been asked to do is solo You Couldn't Hear Me. So, but that is not my gifting. But we want to say thank you so much for being here today. If you're a guest, and there's a visitor card in the seat back in front of you, and if you would fill that out and put it in the offering plate, which will come by a little later, offering bag, that will be awesome. That'll give us a record of your attendance, and we are once again so glad that you've come to worship with us today. And I do want you to take the challenge to sing a little louder, and in a few moments when we go back in to worship. So welcome today to Noble Assembly of God. We've got several announcements, and so I'm going to try to go through them very quickly, but I'll let you know what's going on. First of all is this. In just 3 weeks from now, Connect groups start back up, and so we'll be going back into Connect groups and evening services and all of that. And so you need to be watching. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be having a table out front where we'll be displaying and advertising all the groups that are going on. And so we've got, I believe, at least 6 different groups that along with a group for the kids here at the church. And so there'll be a lot more details to come, but just want to let you know that in the coming weeks, we'll have Connect groups coming back, and some of them are going to be traveling Connect groups. So some of you maybe say, you know what, I'm not ready to go into someone's house yet. I kind of would like a little bit more of it. Well, they're going to be doing some things outside and things like that. And some are meeting in homes. And so we've got a little bit for everybody. And so we'll be telling you more about that in the days and weeks to come. We do have the Women's Ministry Conference. You can see Pastor Steve if you want. He's not going, but you can see Miss Carol, the boss, right? Pastor Steve's boss. That's what I meant to say. And she will get you lined out on that. Hey, if you see young people walking around with these are boxes of candy. We have taken, I gave the youth a challenge this last Wednesday. We were blessed by our Oklahoma Youth Ministry, our Oklahoma District Department. There was like 36 cases of candy left at the end of our sale that we did. And they just said, hey, use it any way you want. Just, you can have it, you can use it. They're worth $60 a piece. And so what we did is we decided, you know what we're going to do for the next 2 weeks? We're going to try to sell all 36 boxes of candy. That would raise $2,000, and we're going to give it all to Speed the Light, to missions. And so we are taking a $2,000 in 2 week challenge. And so, you know what? This is perfect because you can get blessed by having some chocolate-covered almonds or a candy bar or something like that. At the same time, all the money, every bit of it, is going to missions. And how many of you know that missions is the heartbeat of God? Amen? Amen. And so we're excited about that. We're about 4 or 5 days into the challenge, and we're believing that we're going to be able to sell every bit of that and come back to you and report that we've raised over $2,000 for Speed the Light, which is the youth missions program. I was talking to Frank Solomon, our superintendent of our schools, and I asked him. I said, "Is there any way we could help you? You know, how many have been praying for our schools?" All right, amen. We need to reach out and partner with our schools. We believe that here at Noble Assembly. And one of the ways that he said we could help him is this. They are always short, but now they're even more short on substitute teachers. They have a great, great need for people who would go in and sub in the schools. And so if you would be willing to maybe do a day every once in a while and help them in this way, he said it would be a tremendous help. The other thing is you do get paid for subbing, and so maybe this would help you and supplementing some income. And during this time when there's been some uncertainty or whatever, come find me and I'll get you pointed in the right direction. But we just want to be a blessing to our schools, and if this is a way that we can do that by providing some subs and helping to build the workforce there for our schools and invest in our students. I'm gonna go in there and sub some and try to help in that way. And that'll make Pastor happy. Get rid of me out of the office. And yeah. And so he actually said he would pay. The smart aleck every day. All right, so, but anyway, so if you'd like to do that or you're interested, come, even if you're just interested and like to know the information, come talk to me and I'll get you hooked up with that. Pastor, if you noticed out in the foyer, Pastor's got a giant calendar, September to Remember, prayer and fasting challenge that he'll be challenging us with later and talking more about. But basically, he was challenging every day to be signed up by at least one person, although we can have multiple people on a day. You just pick one day in the month of September to fast that day and pray for our nation. How many know our nation needs prayer? And pray for the election and the presidential election and all that's going on in our world today. And so we want to challenge that. And then the last thing is this. Mark your calendar for September 19th. That's a Saturday. We'd like to invite all men and women to come up and help us. We're going to do a work day around here. We've got several projects and of all different skill levels. They've even got something I can do. Come on now. If I can do it, you can do it. All right. And so we're gonna start at 8 a.m. We're gonna have biscuits and gravy and some coffee and juice and milk, and then we're gonna get right into the projects. And so you'll see a sign up coming next Sunday, and would love to have a good work crew where we can knock out a bunch of work projects around here and really take care of the Lord's house. Amen. 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 There's lots of other announcements in the bulletin. I'd love for you to read that and know what's going on. But I'm going to ask the ushers to come as we receive the tithe and offering this morning. Amen. 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 I also had a little fun as they're coming. I had a little fun yesterday. I kept trying to convince random adults at the cross country meet that they were going to have an adult race at the end, and they were looking for people to enter. And one lady, I think she had a panic attack, and so I'd wait till they'd look, and then I'd go, "Just kidding." They said they didn't have enough oxygen tanks, so we're not going to do that after all. So you got to have fun everywhere you go. Let's pray over the tithe and offering. After I pray, we're going to go right back into worship. So after the offering bag passes, you can stand back up. Lord, we thank you so much for all your blessings. We thank you for what's going on here at Noble Assembly of God. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you. We thank you for the opportunity to present the gospel. We thank you for the opportunity to serve our church by doing a work day and fixing things up around here. We thank you for the opportunity to serve our community by subbing in the classroom and partnering with the teachers and administration during this time. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just serve you. We pray, Lord, that you bless the finances. You'll also bless us as we sing a little louder today. In Jesus' name, amen.
you're so good to us, Lord. I praise your name, Jesus. Jesus. I feel like the Lord wants me to read this scripture. You all know it. It's one that we've learned from a child. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies, and you honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever." I'm just so thankful that we serve such a good God, that even when we walk in the darkest valleys, that he is there, he is guiding us, and he is leading us in the way that we should go. Jesus, we worship you this morning. We thank you for your goodness, God. God, even when we walk in the darkness, Lord Jesus, and the darkness right now seems to be all around us, God, there is so much fear around us right now, Lord. There is so much hatred around us in this world right now, Jesus, and you are so good, and you walk with us in all of the ways, Lord Jesus. In everything that we do, God, you walk with us. Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. Close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. Let's sing it to him. And all my goodness, Lord. God, we praise you, Lord. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. Your goodness is running after. It's running after me. My life laid down. I surrender now. I give you everything. Your goodness is running after. It's running after. It's running after me. God. Let's sing that again.
Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful for the goodness of God today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, let's just give God, lift our hands and give Him praise right now. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All of our lives, You've been faithful. Lord, You have been good to us, better than we deserve. And Lord, we just thank You, God, that we have the awesome privilege of knowing You, of serving You, of living our lives for You, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just pray this morning, God, that You would just touch and meet every need in this place. Lord, You know where each and every person is at today. You know what they're facing, what they're going through, and You love them. And You care about them, and we thank You for that. I pray that You would be with Rodna James on Tuesday as she has a very serious back surgery. I pray that You would touch her and be with her, Lord. I pray for our students and teachers and administrators and bus drivers and support personnel and coaches that go back to school tomorrow. We pray, God, that You would just protect and that You would give direction and wisdom and knowledge and that You would just help this to be a great, great school year in spite of what's been happening in recent months. We just pray and give it to You. Lord, be with our nation, be with our president, be with our election in about 70 days. Father God, we pray that every Christian would go and vote. And we pray, Father God, that Your will be done. And we give You our praise and our worship and our love today, God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this wonderful congregation here this morning. Bless and meet every need. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to have a baby dedication. If we could have the Houck family, Dustin and Aaron Houck, and little Denver Cale Houck is going to be dedicated to the Lord this morning. Aaron, of course, is Kelvin and Debbie Winter's daughter, and so they're the proud grandparents. And there he is. Wow. Amen. Let me read a scripture before we do that. In Mark chapter 10, it says, people were bringing little children to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. He said to them, let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And He took the children in His arms, placed His hands on them, and blessed them. And that's what we want to do this morning for Denver Cale Houck. How old is Denver?
3 months.
3 months. This is Dustin and Aaron, and we're so proud of you. And this guy is big now. Wow. Come here, Denver. Uh-oh. He's a hoss, man. Hey, buddy. Fix your shirt.
Yeah.
Can you say hi to everybody? Say hi. What a beautiful baby. What a beautiful baby. And we know that the Denver's not going to remember this day. He won't remember this. But you have a responsibility as parents to tell him of this day. Tell him that on August the 23rd, 2020, that he was dedicated to the Lord. And bring him up in the fear and admonition of God, because there's going to come a time when he's going to have to accept Christ as a Savior. And so we want him to have every opportunity available in the ministries of the church. That's why we have them, and you as mom and dad and as grandparents. And we as a church have our responsibility as well to help and to point and to teach and to work in the nursery. Thank you for all of you who work in the nursery and take your turn every month or two. May the Lord bless you. That is an awesome, awesome responsibility. And so let's just pray over him. Would you stretch your hands toward little Denver this morning and to these parents? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Denver Cale Houck. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought him into this world. What a beautiful baby boy. And Lord, we just pray for him right now. I pray that you would just bless him. I pray that he would grow in wisdom and in stature with God and with man. I pray, Father God, that you would keep him healthy and whole. And I pray there's a day in his life where he will turn to you and say, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. I want to spend eternity in heaven with you. So we just dedicate him now to that end. And we pray for these parents. We just pray that you would just touch them, that you would touch Dustin and Aaron, and that you would just keep your hand upon them and give them wisdom, God, as they bring up little Denver and the fear and admonition of the Lord, and be with this church, Lord, as we do our part to support these parents. We thank you, God. Bless him right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me get you something here. Give these parents a hand. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll grow the church one way or another, right? Amen. As Pastor Phil said earlier, we have decided to enter into a time of prayer and fasting. I know we just completed a 21-day fast, but I was praying. I really felt like the Lord dropped into my heart about a September to remember. We need to remember our nation, and we need to lift up our nation to God in prayer. And so during the month of September, there's a poster, as he mentioned, out there and a red marker. Put your name on a day that you're going to fast and pray. Pick a day to fast and pray for our nation. So one day during the month, say, I'm going to be as it was in Nehemiah's day when it's my day on the wall. I'm working on the wall today. I'm building up the faith and the commitment of God and the blessing of God upon our nation. And so I would love to see that calendar full of names every day. I don't want there to be one day when there's nobody praying. And if there's two or three or a half a dozen on each day, that's fine. So we just want to really set aside our hearts to pray for our nation. We're in a critical, critical time, as probably the most critical time I've ever seen in my lifetime, for sure. And so let's do our part to fast and pray for our nation. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to three scriptures. Do you have three fingers you can put in three places? All right. 1 Chronicles 16:11. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Psalm 105:4. Psalm 105:4 and Psalm 27:8. Psalm 27:8. Isn't it good to be here today? I'm so glad that you came. Great looking crowd this morning. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Now, Psalm 105:4. Look to the Lord and his strength. Strength. Seek his face always. Didn't I just say that? It's repeated two different places, the same verse. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. And then one more back a few chapters in Psalm 27 and verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time together. I pray that as the word of God goes forth today, that you would bring blessing and anointing. Lord, you know what each one of us here need to have told to us, what needs to be spoken to us. And I pray that it finds that place of healing and assurance and faith in our hearts. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for this wonderful day that you have made. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. One of the coolest technological advances that we have enjoyed in recent years is the ability to have a phone that allows you to see the face of the person you are talking to, which is called FaceTime. That's right. And that's the title of the message this morning is FaceTime. And instead of just talking and listening to our grandkids, we can see their faces. And they can show us their latest toys. And they can show us their latest pet. Or we can see them do a cartwheel or any number of things. We feel more connected when we can see a person's face. During the last few months, companies have gone to virtual meetings and conferences where we see each other's faces in our Zoom meetings and GoToMeeting apps, and so that we can have our meeting and see the faces of the people that we're connecting with. Seeing a person's face is vital to knowing them. After all, it's our faces that distinguish us from one another. Not our arms, not our hands, not our feet. Can you imagine if you FaceTime and everybody just had their hand up there? You wouldn't know who is talking to because most people's hands look similar, or feet, or whatever. And so the face is what reveals who that person is. A person's face reveals much about their character and their personality. There's an old saying that says the eyes are the window of the soul. And so when we see a person's face, we can see what they're thinking many times. We can see how they're feeling. We can see their inward emotions by looking at their face and especially their eyes. And we can see their facial expressions a lot more than what we can do if we're just talking to them on the phone. So in a sense, the face represents the whole person. The thought this morning is just as we take time to seek the faces of our family and our children, our coworkers, church friends, and other people that we connect with, it is so important that we also seek the face of God. To know his face, to know him, to communicate with him, just as we would with a family member. There are many verses in the Bible that direct us to seeking the Lord and to seeking God's face. Besides the ones we looked at a moment ago, I'll give you a couple others in just a moment. But we must have FaceTime. Everybody say FaceTime. We must have FaceTime with our Savior if we want to grow in the Lord and if we want to be blessed, if we want to find his direction, if we want to find his will and his word in our lives, if we want to know how to raise our families like we just had this baby dedication, if we want to know what to do and how to act, we must have FaceTime with the Lord, times where we seek him. And so here's a couple more verses. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is one that we have spoken a lot here in recent weeks. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and what? Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Psalm 24:6 says, such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Earlier when Kelly was leading us in our wonderful time of worship, they were singing the song, Good, Good Father. And in that last part, it says he's calling us to deeper still. That just, when I had to grab my notebook and write that down, I thought, Lord, that's it. You're calling your church to going deeper still with you. We can't settle for any kind of a casual relationship any longer. We must go deeper with the Lord, especially in the light of the days we're living in light of what's happening in our country, in light of the coming of the Lord, which I believe is around the corner. We need to go deeper still, and seeking the face of God is certainly a great way to do that. So I got three questions for us this morning. What does it mean to seek God's face? What does it mean to seek God's face? When we talk about seeking God's face, it means we are seeking to know Him. We are seeking to understand His character. We are seeking to hear His voice. The Hebrew word for face in the Old Testament is often translated presence. So we could say, when He says, seek my face, He's saying, seek my presence. When we talk about seeking the face of God, it's seeking the presence of the Lord. The Christian life is one devoted to seeking God's presence, to seeking God's favor, seeking to get to know Him, and to listen what He has to say, as you would if you were FaceTiming with a friend or a family member. Now, Moses was a great example to us. He would spend time with God, and God would speak to him, and he would speak to God. He would come out of these times with God when he had gone to speak with him with the glory of God so much on him that people couldn't look at his face. If you want to go with me to Exodus chapter 34, we can read about that. Exodus 34, 29 talks about the radiant face of Moses. And by the way, I'm in the NIV today. I normally always preach from the NLT, but I just like the way the NIV said the verses seek His face, because the NLT already translated to seek His presence. But it had to fit my sermon, you know, FaceTime. So seek His face, even though it does mean presence. So anyway, is it unusual today? I'm using the Trucker's version, the New International. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. You know, the Bible says the Lord's presence and glory can also reflect our FaceTime with God. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 7. It says, now if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, that's the covenant that Moses brought down the mountain. If the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, I like this, when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Can I tell you today, the Lord wants to have that same glory upon your face, not so you can cover it, but so people can see it, so people can be blessed by the anointing and presence of the Lord that rests on you as you go and seek his face and his presence. Amen. Amen. Philippians 2 is another passage that talks about that very same thing. Philippians 2, 12 to 15. Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. I think that describes our generation, doesn't it? Warped and crooked. Then you will shine among them like the stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain, Paul goes on to say. God wants us to shine like stars in the sky. As we seek God's presence, as we seek his face, he works in us in such a way as to make our lives shine like the stars. Second question this morning is, what is the importance of seeking God's face? What is the importance? The more you FaceTime with the Lord, the more you'll experience his peace, his power, his presence, his manifest presence, I should say. He will reveal himself to you the more you spend time seeking the presence in the face of God. Pastor Tony Evans, he's one of my favorite common ministers or this era of ministers. He pastors Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. He has a radio program called The Urban Alternative. I love listening to his ministry and the way he preaches. But I get a weekly devotion from him, and this was last week's, and I just want to take a few moments to refer to this because it was so good and it fits so well with what we're talking about today. The title of devotion was called Setting Aside Time. He says, how do you feel when you set out to spend some time with someone you care about and they make it a point to say, see this phone? See this phone? I'm turning it off so that I can focus entirely on you and on us and what we are doing right now. That action, no doubt, causes you to feel cherished, valued, and loved. What God wants from us is more than a nod or a salute or a high five when we walk by. He doesn't want a glance or a simple pause as we go about our day, although those things are nice. But those things cannot serve as the foundation of your knowing God, for your knowing of God. He desires and deserves your full attention, effort, and focus. God has intricately woven each of us together, predicated on his intended destiny for us. Psalm 139:13 and Jeremiah 1:5. The least he'd like in return is a bit of focus on him, a bit of devotion to him. He goes on to say, make it a priority of meeting with him regularly, even if it's just for a short amount of time, and allow those times to grow in time as you come to recognize his voice more and more each day. Pray simply, Lord, I want you to show me your glory. Then open your eyes and buckle your seatbelt, because that is a prayer he will gladly answer for you. You pray, Lord, show me your glory, and God is going to do that. Remember we talked about, I think it was last Wednesday night and maybe last Sunday, or no, it wasn't last Sunday, I didn't preach, but the verse, we have not because we what? Because we ask not. Let's start asking for the Lord to show us his glory, show us his presence. Amen? Not just be satisfied with what we have now. When we seek his face lights up. When you seek the face of God, God's face goes, yes. They're coming to seek me. They're coming to spend time with me. All right. Because we are his dearly loved what? Children, the Bible says. We are his dearly loved children. Now, one thing, when you come to the Lord, don't constantly think God is disappointed or mad at you. Now, if you've been not doing what you should, and you know that your heart isn't right, then yes, you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm coming back to you, I've not been doing what I should. But I'm talking about as a Christian, as a believer, you're trying to serve God. When you come to the Lord, don't think, well, God's mad at me. He's so disappointed with me. If you think God is constantly shaking his head at you like that, when you come to him, he goes, it's going to affect the way you approach him. Would it not? You're so focused on your sins and your shortcomings and your mistakes that you will approach him that way. We will come to God. We will come to God like the prodigal son with our I'm so sorry speech, but we never look up to see his face, to see him put on us his robe and his ring. Remember the prodigal? He came back and the father gave him a robe and a ring and sandals and said, kill the fattened calf, we're going to have a feast. I think there must be a balance in our attitude between repentance and rejoicing. This, yes, we do need to repent, and I've said before, we need to live humbly in an attitude of repentance. But if you're constantly over here and you're never rejoicing, what have you got to share the world? What are they going to see? We need to live in that balance between walking humbly with the God, with our God, and having an air of rejoicing that I am a child of the King. My name is written down in glory. The Lord is my heavenly Father, and I come to him boldly into his presence because he wants me to. He smiles when I seek his face. He loves it when I come into his presence. He can't wait for me to take the time out of my day to get down by my chair or out walking in the field behind your house or wherever you meet with God and say, here I am, Lord. I just come to seek your face. The Lord smiles at that. He wants us to spend time with him, and he wants to spend time with you. Look at Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26. Numbers 6. These three verses have been used many times to close church services all over the place. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turns his face toward you and give you peace. How many of you have heard that at the like a benediction of a church service? Many times. Well, it's true. In fact, there's a song that we've been singing around here now that just it has very verses. The Blessing. How many of you like that song? That is a cool song. The Blessing. May the Lord make his face shine on you and bless you and keep you. I want to tell you, as we turn our face to the Lord wants to do nothing less than turn his face and his presence toward you. How many of you believe the Lord wants to bless you? He wants to pour his favor on you. He's not up there with a big club just ready to, boy, you step out of line, I'm going to whack you. Some people in our world have that, they have that idea of God. Their idea of God is he's a mean old, crusty old man up in heaven with a frown on his face just ready to pop you on the head. That isn't God at all. He loves you. Is he a just God? Yes, he will have to turn away those who do not come to him. But when you become a child of God, he is your heavenly Father. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he wants you to come and spend time with him. He wants you to seek his face. He longs for that. Seeking the face of God transforms us into His image. We become like the things we focus on. Let me say that again. We become like the things we focus on. When we spend our time in fear or worry, our lives are filled with hardships. When we focus on money, we become greedy. When we focus on our needs, we become desperate in filling them. When we focus on the things that have been done wrong against us in the past, we become bitter and angry, and we hold resentment. It is only in God that when we focus on Him, that all the good things are added. Matthew 6:33, one of my favorite scriptures, many of you know it by heart, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you seek Him first, you seek His presence, God will take care of every need that you have. That's why it's so important that we seek the Lord, that we understand and become like Him, that we think what He thinks, feel what he feels, try to do what He would do. Thirdly, how do we seek the face of God? How do we seek His presence? Psalm 119:58 says, I have sought your face with all my heart. Everybody say, all my heart. I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. As we draw near to God, James 4:8 says He will draw near to us. Come near to God and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. As you draw nigh to Him, the Lord draws nigh to you. He wants to be sought out. But He is also eager to reveal Himself to those who love Him. As we cultivate and honor this relationship we have with the Lord, seeking the face of God becomes easier and easier. At first, it may seem hard to set aside time in your schedule to pray and to read the Word and to shut the door to other things. It may seem difficult, but I guarantee you, the more you do it, the more you'll want to do it. You'll think, man, when can I get back to talking to the Lord? When can I get to His Word? When can I seek His face again? Setting aside a time along with daily thinking on the things of God is the key to victory in our church and in our individual lives. As Tony Evans said earlier, not a passing thought or a high five, but full attention. We go through our day, oh, hi, God. And that's all He ever hears us. I don't think the Lord's real tickled with that. You know? Would you? Would you be? When we approach the Lord in prayer, we are seeking His face. When we sing and praise the Lord as we did here this morning, we are seeking His face. We are seeking His presence. When we open up the Word of God right here and we face the book, maybe we need to face the book more than we Facebook. Just a thought. When we face the book and we read the message put there by God, we plant His Word in our hearts and we seek and reap His blessing. Remember the song? We sing it every now and then here and it's been sang over the years. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That's not just a song we sing, it's the truth. The more we turn our eyes upon the Lord, it's like the things of the world just kind of grow strangely dim. It doesn't seem as attractive, doesn't seem as important as it used to. Our whole perspective changes. And we start seeing things through the eyes of our Lord. We start looking at life in the eyes of the Lord. We start looking at people through the eyes of the Lord and our circumstances. We don't get so bummed out if something isn't quite right. We need to turn our eyes upon Jesus and seek his face. We need to have face time with God. Have you ever wondered if Peter would have not fallen asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus? If he would have stayed awake, if he would have denied the Lord three times? I mean, we don't know that. But I just wonder, you know, he was in the garden there and the disciples, and the Lord came back to him three times and said, are you sleeping? Wake up. We got to pray here. And the Lord knows we're human, and he knows we're, you know, we're flesh and blood and we get tired and all that, but he fell asleep. I wonder if there's a connection between his falling asleep and his denying Christ just a short time, a couple of days later. I have to conclude with an illustration again by Dr. Tony Evans. It's called, How Bad Do You Want It? If you've ever been involved in sports, or if you follow sports at all, you will know that a regular question ask when a sports team is ready to head into competition is, how bad you guys want it? Attitude is bigger than anything. How bad do you want it? It's a question about desire. It's a question about drive. It's not first and foremost a question about skill or about preparation or strategy. Those things are important. But the biggest question about it is passion. Craving. How bad do you want this victory tonight, Noble Bears? Oklahoma Sooners? Church? How bad do we want victory? How bad do we want the presence of God to be full and overflowing in our hearts and in our church and in our community? How bad? The answer to that question will often make or break a player or a team. And when it comes to knowing God, this is a question that will define everything. God truly wants to know how badly you want him. Are you satisfied with the casual relationship? Or do you long for something more? Something with fire. Something with passion. Something with electricity and energy. Hello? Amen? I don't know about you, but I want the passion, the fire, the electricity, the energy. Far too many believers are satisfied with simply being churchgoers. On their way to heaven, they hope. As a result, they can never talk about their experience with God in history. They don't know him as he truly desires to be known. This is because knowing God comes to effort, pursuit, and desire. Let me say it again. Knowing God comes to effort, pursuit, and desire. It's not merely flipping open your Bible and looking for a verse today to keep the devil away. Let's see here. And Judas went out and hung himself. Go thou and do likewise. No, that's not good. That's a really old joke. Y'all do that one. That isn't going to cut it, is it? God wants more than, okay, let me find my verse for the day to keep the devil away. Knowing God involves an intentional, everybody say intentional. Intentional quest for intimacy. The question for you is, how bad do you want it? How bad do you really want to know the Lord, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father? How bad do you want to know him? One more story as musicians come. How many have heard of David Wilkerson? You know, he started Teen Challenge. He wrote the book, The Cross and the Switchblade. He later in life pastored Times Square Church that he planted and started. He passed away in 2011 at the age of 80. But when David Wilkerson was basically unheard of, nobody knew who he was. He was a young pastor just starting out in Pennsylvania. He was in a town of about 1,000 people. His church ran about 100. He was doing okay. He had a church about 10% of the population. But David Wilkerson began to be very dissatisfied with life, what he saw happening in his own life and his little church that he was pastoring. He was getting tired and weary, preaching to the same people week after week, never anyone at the altar and nobody being saved. And he began to seek the face of God. I read this. This is exactly from his own words, and I read it this week, this story I'm telling you. This is what happened. He began, in his own words, he said, "I began to seek the face of God." He said, "I would go into the woods out behind his house," and that was my prayer sanctuary. And I would pray every day, and I would tell the Lord, "Lord, this is not Pentecost. Dry sermons and no salvations. I want to see something more, God. I've got to have more of you." That was his prayer. After several months of doing that, he saw the story in Time magazine about the young men in New York who were headed to trial. That, as you know the story, he went to New York City, led by the Lord, and began to minister to Nikki Cruz and those there, and what began the ministry we know that's worldwide today as Teen Challenge. Touched thousands and thousands of lives, people bound by drugs and alcohol. Later came various books and publications, and Times Square Church that continues to function there in New York City as well. The point is, all of that, all the thousands of souls that have been touched and saved over the years, and the ministry of Teen Challenge that's global now, all the books, the publications, the church, the Times Square Church, all of that was born out of seeking God's face, seeking God's presence. Had he not done that, had he been satisfied with the little church he was pastoring and the 100 people and say, "Oh, well, I'm just going through the ministry. I guess it doesn't get any better than this." Had he just been satisfied, look what all would have been forfeited. Seeking God's face was the answer. Seeking God's presence, spending that time in face time with God. Would you pray this prayer with me today? Just everybody bow your head and close your eyes. Repeat after me. I have this prayer. It was written by David Wilkerson that I want us to pray. Holy Spirit, stir my soul. Draw me to the secret closet of prayer with you. Discipline me to wait on you, to cry out, to not give up until you fill me to the full. Supply me with your quiet rest and assurance that you will see me through whatever comes. Amen. I hope that's your prayer today. Lord, I'm going to begin a FaceTime with you. I'm going to go deeper still. I'm going to ramp up what I've been doing. I'm going to take it up a notch or two. I'm going to be seeking your presence because I want you to take all of me and use me in my generation. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. We thank you for this word. Lord, it's been so strong on my heart that this is the message of the hour for the church to become dissatisfied with where she is and to step on up a little higher, to go a little deeper, to go a little further with you and to spend time with you. Lord, speak to all of our hearts today. I pray that every one of us would not forget this message tomorrow morning and the next day and the next day, but Lord, you would remind us that you want to hang out with us, that you want to spend time with us, that you want to bless us. You have things you want to accomplish in our life that will only happen as we set our face to seeking you. Lord, help us, we pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give an opportunity this morning for there may be someone here that doesn't know Christ as Savior. I can't imagine sitting through an hour and a half church service nearly and wondering as you leave if you're right with God. Wondering that you would not go to heaven if you suddenly died in a car wreck 30 minutes after you left church or dropped dead of a heart attack. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I'm trying to be very real. Because once you pass, there's no turning back. You have to decide. So anybody here today, you may have been in church your whole life, or this might be your very first time to be in a church. If you'd like to pray with me to receive Christ, Dave, just lift up your hand. Say, pray for me. That's me. I need to know Christ as Savior today. Just give an opportunity right now, because we're going to pray together if there's anyone here. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. I see two hands. You can put them down. Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else this morning? My prayer this morning and this week was, Lord, give us souls. I want to start seeing souls saved in every church service. Lord, I want to see people come to Jesus in every service. Holy Spirit, touch right now. Anyone else? Going to wait just a moment. Going to wait just a moment. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Wait just another moment. Praise God. You know, that's the greatest decision we can make, is to say, Lord Jesus, I give my heart to you. I give my heart to you. Hallelujah. I'd like for us all to stand, if we would. And I'd like to invite those who raise their hand to come right down here in front with me. I don't want to embarrass you, but if you really mean business, you know, if we can't step out in front of people in a church, we're going to have a hard time standing in the world this week. If you raise your hand, I want you to come real quickly. Don't even think about it. If you think about it, the devil will talk you out of it. The devil's sitting there saying, no, you don't need to do that. No, it's not necessary. Isn't that what the devil does? And that's what he does. Amen. Right here. Right here. Praise God. Any others? There was about four or five hands. Yeah, give him a hand. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any more? Wait just a second. You want to join these? We're going to pray together with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on over here, Wyatt. Praise God. Stretch your hands toward these right now.
glory and grace. Close to you, never let me go. I lay it all down for you. You say,
hallelujah. Three people. Praise God. Praise God. The angels are rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to embarrass them, but today, this week, in your prayers, remember Jared and Lorraine, and remember Wyatt in your prayers. Say, Lord, bless Jared and Lorraine and Wyatt. Because the devil will come and say, oh, that wasn't nothing. How many of you know the devil's a liar? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you, Father God, that we can turn our eyes upon you just as we were talking about today, that we can have that face time with you. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us all to get in our prayer time with you, that we may have the glory of God upon our lives just like Moses did. Lord, he had to wear a veil, but we're not going to wear no veil because we want people to see that there is something real called faith in Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord Jesus. Go with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.